They bring on the experts, quote unquote, who represent being smart. And by the very light that gets shined on them, their recognition, the rest of us, as Bentham said, are herded. Not just because we don't hear that silent story, the truth, but because we too want to be among the truly smart ones. So we furiously think, worry, the only thoughts we hear, and share them with our friends. And the entire circular process but digs us deeper in this trap called the system. You can see this sad overvaluation of supposed intellect everywhere, which is but longing for our stolen gifts. But as we reclaim them, we begin to see the fraud being perpetrated to keep us feeling small. I've been pondering that line from Hammons, or rather it was Hammons quoting Disraeli, "Sensible men never tell," because the folks who get propped up as pundits, I'd guess between them have amassed a whole lot of degrees from elite universities. They must have read Bentham. A few, at least, must know his significance for power's game of rule and for keeping the people reduced to but tools, and yet no one said a thing. I find this degree of totalitarian control of thinking itself shocking. Maybe that word will do. I don't have a word adequate for feeling simultaneously angry, awestruck, sickened, that these so-called thinkers could be so thoroughly conquered. And so we see the theater metaphor is rather exact truth. We live in a sculpted reality in which decisions are made behind scenes. Who stands in the limelight? Who dances? Who gets soliloquies? Who meets unfortunate ends? And those stand-ins who long for the limelight to stand center stage and say, "All eyes on me," will say anything to get there. And by the way, that the subjection of women is a key piece in the history of this theater, there is no doubt. But if preserving the key power illusion requires giving lip service in the political arena, passing laws that officially end this subjection, this is eminently doable for power, as it would keep us commoners busy with enforcement ad infinitum, while the key myth of the necessity of rule by the 0.0001% is addressed in only a scattered fashion, i.e., unsuccessfully. I've been pondering these key myths, assumptions by which we accept being pounded between narrow walls and into roles. The myths that justify class, hierarchy, ranking, merit rises, some among us are inherently lazy, and productivity serves the species. Laying about is narrowly self-serving, i.e., we exist to serve. Violence is inherent in human nature, and labor is our inevitable lot. And so there is a vague notion of original sin underlying all of them, and our longing to remove that stain is the stick driving us on into the cattle pens made for us, complete with treadmills to walk till we fall into our graves. But the stick has also a sweet stroke, which Bentham wrote exhaustively about. Punish sloth, but reward productivity. Bentham saw that no one likes a stick, so he urged the internalization of discipline and selective recognition and controlling the thoughts we can think. But that keeps them starving. Our thinking capacities are fallow fields waiting for the seeds and the water and the food, which, if given, sprout munificently. So as I said in Revealing Division, restating Popper, the most essential myth, the stopgap one power needs to exist, is the division between mental and manual labor. Another way of saying this is the division between citizen and barbarian. And there is a kind of arrogance with which all state allegiances are endowed, a notion that one's own must be made perfect while one sacrifices the globe. But it is only from the perspective of the whole that the truth may be known, our thoughts can be grown, our true nature known, and the species finally grow up. All of us have to do this together, stand together, reclaim our hands and minds, if we truly want health for the planet to be our endowment.